Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 405. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Have a great guest with me in the Tool Shed this week. He is a writer and podcaster for Prospects Live and Scout the Stat Line, Mr. Doc Eisenhower at Doc Eisenhower on Twitter or X, whatever you call it these days. Doc, how's it going, bud?
It's going great, man. This is my Tool Shed debut, man. It feels cozy in this shed. I gotta say, we almost looks like we're in the same room. Like you could imagine, there's a little bit of shadow over here, a little bit of white over here, and you got something out. And if you're not watching, folks, you're missing some beautiful backdrops. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, mine's always pretty somber here. I got my desk lamp on. Usually, it's my, the overhead lights are just too bright, especially at this time of night where it's about 9:15. On the East Coast, so I like to have a little darker in here at nighttime. But yeah, a lot of stuff to get to. Trade deadline recap. You know, for my dynasty slant, I mean, there's been a lot of trade deadline shows going on. I was on one of them myself on Beat the Shift, but this one's got a little dynasty slant to it, and we'll get into some of the prospects that were traded. So there's several fun prospects, including one really fun prospect that was traded, which I think was the surprise of the day on trade deadline day. But before we get into all of those moves, get the housekeeping out of the way here. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues using TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED at checkout. All right, let's start with that kind of big surprising move of the day. Mason Miller and J.P. Sears heading over to the San Diego Padres. That wasn't the surprising part, but the surprising part was that Leo DeVries going back along with three pitching prospects, Braden Nett, Henry Baez, and Edwarniel Nunez going to the Athletics. So didn't really expect DeVries to get moved at the deadline, and San Diego Padres Twitter went into a frenzy after they saw DeVries was in the deal. I saw a lot of people not liking it, but I think they kind of calmed down through the rest of the day because AJ Preller was once again extremely active, as he always is every deadline. But yeah, Leo DeVries, now a member of the Athletics. So you got to feel nice little upgrade in the future home ballpark when time he's up. Maybe he'll be up when they're still in Sacramento, but if not, it'll be the new Vegas ballpark. Numbers haven't been like off the charts with DeVries this year. 8 home runs, 8 steals in 85 games, 248, 356, 412 slash line, 13.5% walk rate, strikeout rate right around 20%. But then you remember that he's only 18 years old in high A right now, as I believe the youngest player at the level. So top 10 prospect for probably the last year plus now. DeVries has been considered pretty much universally. So what were your thoughts on this deal? DeVries going back, and what do you think DeVries becomes long-term, Doc?
I mean, this was something on the On Deck podcast. I'm cross-promoting right now. Prospects Live. I was on that with Nate Rasmussen and Drew Wheeler, and they said, hey, do you think Owen Casey's going to be the biggest prospect move at the deadline? And I was like, yeah, I guess. But then again, one of these coastal big market teams could easily just make a huge splash. We're not going to see it coming, but I guess we should see it coming. I don't know how you could be a Padres fan and be surprised by anything at the deadline anymore. Right. Could you imagine how different this team would be looking? Like if they kept, like, just say they didn't make any moves the last few years, this would just be a completely different franchise, right? It's James Wood, you know, CJ Abrams. Like, it's like, what? It's a, maybe, I don't know. It's interesting. And hey, I love it. It's aggressive. It makes the game more fun. I'm not sure if I would necessarily want my team to be so crazy with their farm. It's good to grow some from home, but LDV looks like a stud. He's got some more development to do. His contact rates were dropping a little bit this year, but he's super young. Like, I'm not worried, and I think he's been doing well so far. We don't really know when they're moving, when the Athletics are moving to Vegas. But I'm not sure it's that big of a downgrade. Sacramento will be fun if he can make it up there in time. I think, hey, he starts getting hot now. All he has to do is get hot by the end of next year. They'll still be in Sacramento, and maybe he's helping you. Maybe he's helping you win a dynasty championship. If, you know, he's going to be in a lineup with guys like Jacob Wilson, Nick Kurtz, maybe Brent Rooker still. Soderstrom's having a kind of like an – he started off like, he's the next – Soderstrom's the next 50 home run guy, guaranteed. Now we've almost forgotten about him, but he's actually had a quite in between, like a good season.
Yeah, he's still been solid for sure.
Yeah, so I think LDV, this guy is the limit. I'm not sure if he'll ever be like a 40-40 guy. I'm not sure if he's that. I'm not sure if he needs to be that, but I think he looks like a really high quality player, and that's good enough, especially in that park, in that lineup.
Yeah, the one area I wonder about with DeVries long term is, you know, assuming he fills out a little bit more, still gets some projection on that frame. You know, is he more, you know, like a 15, like a 15-ish still guy as opposed to like 20 plus? But at the same time, that probably means more power, you know, moving forwards. Maybe he's a 25, 30 plus home run guy, especially in that, you know, future home ballpark. So yeah, DeVries, you know, looks like an absolute stud. And now, you know, the big thing with him, you know, where does he play long term? Obviously, Jacob Wilson, you know, the shortstop right there with the Athletics. But does that mean DeVries is going over to second, third? I think a lot of it depends on how the body progresses. Maybe he's not, you know, he's better if at third, maybe second. I got to assume it's one of those two spots. We shall see. But I mean, he's going to be a stud, or could be a stud at any position, no matter what the eligibility is next to his name. But yeah, the power is still coming along. This is such a sweet left-handed swing, very advanced for his age. So, you know, some people are like, with him and Walcott, they're like, oh, the numbers aren't, you know, blowing you away. You know, like Connor Griffin's putting up insane numbers, but you know, Walcott and DeVries had, you know, they've been fine, but not like super sexy numbers, but I don't really care about that. You know, the skills are there. They very young. Each of them are very young for the level. So yeah, DeVries, no doubt top 10 prospect, you know, probably top five for fantasy at this point. So yeah, definitely looks like a stud long term, but definitely have some intrigue here with a couple of the arms going back. You know, Braden Nett and Baez especially. Do you have any intrigue in any of the arms that went along with DeVries going to the Athletics stock?
Yeah, going that way. I mean, we talked a bit before the show. I'm not as big of a prospector as I once was. Like, I'm in 30 teamers, so I have to stay on the ball a little bit. But I did some research into these guys, and I do like what Baez brings to the table in terms of command. He seems like a command artist. Maybe he's not going to knock you away. He's not going to knock you out with the strikeouts. Needs to put some meat on those bones at 6'3", 175. But, you know, I think I like that better than maybe the volatility of a Braden Nett, who, you know, is looking at the profile, has a history of serious command issues, but maybe he'll be an electric reliever. I'm not sure. You know, you see, was that there in 2024, yeah. Or sorry, that's I got my glasses on. Double A last year at a 9.6 walks per nine. That was only four innings. My bad. But yeah, he's been over five walks per nine for pretty much most of it, if not all of his minor league career. So yeah, I mean, Mizorowski's proof that you can change that. But I don't think everyone's Mizorowski.
No, not many are. Not many can throw 96 mile an hour sliders, but. Yeah, there's definitely some intrigue here. I like that a good bit, but yeah, you mentioned that there's some command control issues. He's probably, you know, fringe average to below average in both of those, but you know, it's a good, you know, was four pitch mix, but three pretty solid pitches, fastball, and both his breaking balls are solid, and he can miss bats, but yeah, walk rate's over 10% this year. So, but yeah, I think I have net in the 250 range of my prospect rankings. Bias is like, I think 3 to 350. So both kind of solid arms in those deeper formats, but you know, obviously the big name here is DeVries, but Mason Miller now in San Diego. And also, you know, they still had, you know, people thought they were going to be getting rid of Robert Suarez, but he's still there. So I don't think it's a downgrade on Miller. Do you think it's a downgrade on Miller, or I think it's more of a downgrade here on Suarez, even though I still love Suarez, but you got to think that, you know, they just gave up DeVries to get Mason Miller, that you got to imagine they're going to give him at least the leading guy in that bullpen.
Not yet. That was about to cut you off. I know we don't, I'm a bulldozer. You can't let it happen. Suarez got the first shot, so, and he's got the most saves in Major League Baseball. I think he would be sending the wrong message. Call me old school, but to take out the best closer in the league in terms of a guy who's getting it done cumulatively, you know, the quantity and the quality's been there too. He's had a couple rough stretches, but what this means for Suarez is essentially you can't have those rough stretches for more. Your leash just got a lot shorter. And Mason Miller will be there breathing down his neck. What do you think about this? Turn it around on you, Mr. Host. Mason Miller, I'm hearing rumblings that the Padres might be considering converting him back to a starter next year. I think that'd be a terrible idea with all his injury history. It's like, is it really worth it? You're going to trade LDV just to blow this guy's arm out again, keep him out for a couple years?
I've heard of that too, and I also hate it. I just don't think Miller, I mean, You get to imagine that, yeah, there's a small path where it's like, oh, he could be like another Mizuroski type, sure. But I just don't think he has the durability to start. Like he's never shown durability to handle 30-plus starts in the season. And he's been one of the best relievers in baseball since he came up. So, I mean, yeah, he's been a little up and down this year. And I don't know. I won't be surprised if they do it, but I don't think that's the right move. I think he'd probably have some fun stretches as a starter, but I think you're going to see him on the IL a few times and just being just really maddening to roster. So I hope they keep him as a reliever. This is him and Suarez as, you know, back into that bullpen along with Jason Adam, Adrian Morejon. Yep. That's a really good bullpen.
Disgusting.
I didn't realize, I forgot that Suarez got that first save up on Friday. So we'll kind of see how this, you know, plays out moving forward, but yeah, absolute, you know, stud there in Miller. So I hope they keep him in the bullpen. He's, I think, one of the top five or so relievers in baseball, at least for fantasy purposes. And as a starter, yeah, that's a scary thought. A lot of risk in doing that. So we'll see. But they do need some starters long term. We'll see what they do. But it's not that they have anybody else coming up through the system there that are for good pitching prospects, because they kind of traded them all away in their various deals here, including this next deal with the Baltimore Orioles. They sent prospects Boston Bateman, Tyson Nabors, those are pitchers, Cobb Hightower, Victor Figueroa, Brandon Butterworth, and Tanner Smith. So six prospects going to Baltimore for Ryan O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano. Both those MLB guys, in O'Hearn and Laureano, having pretty solid years. I mean, O'Hearn was a first-time All-Star, which was kind of fun there because I always kind of liked O'Hearn. Seems like he's a good dude. You saw him and his wife, you know, on the, you know, the red carpet, so to speak, at the All-Star game, just, you know, how they were talking about just being blessed and cherishing the moment. So good for the O'Hearn family. But O'Hearn slashing 279, 370, 455, 13 bombs in 370 plate appearances this year. And Laureano having a nice little bounce back season as well. 288, 351, 535, 16 home runs, four steals, 48 runs scored in 302 plate appearances. So it's kind of both pretty solid veterans here. Both, I think both are 31. I know Laureano's 31, O'Hearn 32. So any interest, like if you were a contending team right now, Doc, and you kind of needed a bat here to help solidify your playoff push or your title push, would you be interested in going after either O'Hearn or Laureano on the trade front?
Well, this is interesting. I think both these trades are great examples of real life baseball trades versus dynasty or fantasy baseball trades. Like, no one's doing either of these trades, you know, in fantasy. No one's trading LDV for Mason Miller. You know, right. This is it shows you the power of the reliever in real life baseball, closing or not. And then this trade, it's funny because Ryan O'Hearn and Gavin Sheets, they just feel like the same guy to me. Like, it's like perfect. I think those two, Sheets, O'Hearn, and Laureano, they're going to be doing this three-headed dragon thing probably on DH in the outfield. Maybe Sheets gets some first base appearances. But basically, if any of them slump, you know, you can start just riding the hot hand. And this is a move you're going to make in like a 30-teamer. Like, you would add a guy like that. And so in your deep leagues, maybe these bats are targets, 20 to 30-teamers. In terms of like, if it's you're at the trade deadline yourself right now, yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm rushing out there in more medium to shallow leagues to get these guys, whether it's through trade or off waivers, just because, I mean, yes, it's a fun lineup, but you just might not be reliant. You can't really rely on them for playing time. I really, you know, I'm sure you're going to get into it, but I just love what the Orioles did this deadline. They did what they needed to do. They understood the assignment.
Yeah, they usually do for the most part. I mean, I'm sure Baltimore fans would, you know, kind of scoff at that because they haven't really gone out and gotten pitching when they were contending the last couple of years. But I think they made the right moves this year. I mean, and they also got back another move we'll talk about later on. They traded Sir Anthony Dominguez for Jaron Watts Brown. So they obviously are out of it this year. You know, everything's gone wrong for them this year, especially on the pitching front. Injuries, just poor performances from most of their good players. So, yeah, they definitely needed to make some moves here and made them kind of restock the farm system. Got some pitching prospects here. Yeah, I think Boston Bateman going back is fairly intriguing. He's a big righty. He's big lefty, 6'7", 250. I mean, he's like a Lance Lynn sized dude, and he's only 19 years old, but there's some upside there. And Victor Figueroa's had a pretty solid season as well. And he's a guy that's like a borderline. I think I have him near my top 200 overall for my prospect rankings here. He's at 12 home runs, 5 steals, 316, 420, 582 in 281 plate appearances this year. He was in low A for San Diego, and they bumped him up to high A since going to Baltimore. Just played the couple games so far. But those are two intriguing guys if you have, like, you know, a league where 250-plus prospects are rostered. But as for the major league guys, I mean, I think both O'Hearn and Laureano, even like, you know, Gavin Sheets that you mentioned, those are all just solid low, you know, not buy low, but like sneaky value targets, because it's not going to take a lot to get either of them or any of them. Because, you know, you look at, oh, they're, you know, they're in their 30s, you know, that dreaded three at the beginning of an age, you know, it's like, you know, the kiss of death in fantasy, it seems like. But these guys that are, you know, semi-productive, they can help me. Obviously, they're not going to be, you know, studs for you leading you to a championship, but you got to fill in your team with the O'Hearns, with the Laureano, with the Sheets types. If you get a couple of these guys here and there, you're probably going to be pretty solid if you're, you know, mixing them in with all your higher upside guys, whether they be, you know, the veterans or the young guys. So, yeah, I think if you can get them for a cheap price, I think all three of those guys, you know, especially O'Hearn and Laureano here, are pretty solid targets for Dynasty. All right, Seattle was pretty active.
Oh, I'd love to give one shout out for the prospects there.
Yeah,
I want to give one shout out. First of all, Boston Bateman, I saw him at 6'8". He's not a little midget at 6'7", bro. He's got a whole he's 6'8".
I shorted him an inch.
Yeah, he's got three pitches. He's a teenager, really rough. Like, that's the kind of, like, that's the frontline starter potential that the Orioles desperately need. Cobb Hightower, he's a scrappy guy. He's a grinder. But the one guy I wanted to really shout out, who I think a lot of folks are overlooking, is Tyson Nabors. Go watch this guy throw a baseball. He's violent. He puts his whole body into it. Thank God. Like, this is the kind of guy where you actually draft a reliever to be a reliever, because, you know, it would not work out in any other way. Every picture I was trying to get of him for my article today, his face is just like, and yep. He is – go look at his numbers on your spare time, folks. Tyson Nabors, he's electric. He's got like a 1.85 ERA right now, I think at AA. And I believe this is his first full year. Yeah, I think this is his first year in pro ball. So he's going to be the Orioles' closer of the future. And I don't know if anyone's – like, I wouldn't be shocked if you threw him in there right now. He's their best reliever. That's a crazy statement. But, like, – I think he's really good, and I think the Orioles need it. So that's why I had to go back on that one. And also, shout out to the Padres getting Nestor Cortes. That's a sneaky one. He might win them a playoff game. You never know.
Yeah, you got to love Nestor. I mean, he hasn't been quite the same over the last couple of years, but still a really fun guy. And yeah, that they needed some more pitching depth, and he absolutely provides that for sure. And yeah, Neighbors so far this year in 32 appearances, almost pretty much split between high A and double A, 43 and two-thirds innings total. He has a 1.85 ERA and a 37.5% strikeout rate, only a 155 batting average against there. So yeah, definitely a very exciting arm, a really good curveball too. It doesn't blow you away with velocity, but the secondaries, the slider and the curve are really good. So yeah, definitely a really fun pick. He was a fourth rounder last year for the Padres in the 2024 draft. So yeah, definitely some intriguing names going there to Baltimore over a couple of different deals. But Seattle here was pretty, they're good this trade deadline. They got two bats here and Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez, both of which I really wanted for the Red Sox, but they both go to Seattle for pretty light returns. I mean, a little bit of intrigue going to Arizona here, but Suarez having a phenomenal year, 36 home runs right now, 243, 313, 559 slash line. Also has 66 runs scored and how many RBIs? 87 RBI. So he's already, up to where his usual range is like 85 to 105. He's already in that range with 2 months to go, hitting for a decent enough average, not terrible. He's kind of always been like that 240, 250 range. And then Josh Naylor, I think, might just be the most underrated of the top first baseman in the game. I mean, he's ranked as a top 10 guy for the most part, but no one ever really talks about him because it's not a gaudy slash line. It's not a sexy profile, but he's got 12 home runs, 17 steals this year after 31 home runs and six steals last year, slashing 284, 351, 434 this year. Doesn't strike out much, only a 13.7% strikeout rate, 9.3% walk rate. So two pretty good bats there, but they are going to more of a pitcher friendly ballpark in what do they call it up there now? T-Mobile Park, I think it is now. I still call it my brain still says Safeco. My brain still says all of the old school ballpark names. But so what are your thoughts here on Naylor and Suarez in Seattle, Doc?
Now you can't tell me that Houston's not Minute Maid Park. You can't tell me like. I had to look that one up the other day.
Dykin Park now? Dykon Park?
Right. It does not have a ring to it. I'll tell you that much. Hey, if it wasn't during my nostalgic period in my life, that's not the real thing. Right. has anyone ever said you kind of look like Tyler Locklear, or at least like you have that vibe? You got like that big white guy vibe. Yeah.
Me? No, I've never gotten that.
You got beard and you're a white guy, and you probably got nice bat speed, right?
In my heyday, it was all right.
Yeah. So Locklear, I've been quietly, I've never really like, I haven't been super high on Locklear, but I've always liked him and I liked his skill set. Part of the reason is exactly what we're talking about here is the Seattle factor. Playing time has been an issue, but also the park. I don't think he's got like 30 to 40 home run necessarily power. I think he's got 25 home run power. I think it might have been this weird like maybe low 20s in Seattle, though, maybe even high teens. I don't know, maybe whatever the maybes are, they're gone. He's going to Arizona now, which, gosh, remember that used to be even better to hit there, but almost everywhere is better than Seattle. So I'm excited for Locklear. He's already getting a shot in the starting lineup. This is fantastic for him. It looks like he's actually, look good. He's breaking out. He got two hits today and a stolen base, and that can't be right. It says it's right. It says today he's got a stolen base and a caught stolen base. This guy running wild? Tyler Locklear running wild in Arizona? All right, it's happening. 2020, yeah. Tyler Locklear. Now, the reason I like this guy is because he's got great bat speed and he takes a nice walk. And so he's got like that. He's not just a free swinger. That's what I said about – I'm not sure if it's the same profile, but it's what I said about Kyle Stowers. I'm like, when you combine – like electric bat speed and when you hit the ball it goes a long way. If you can just give me some kind of plate discipline, then we got something there. Augustin Ramirez, he doesn't strike out that much. Okay, so then like that's really exciting. Like there's something there. Like Joe Adell doesn't really have anything there at this point. That's why I've had a hard time buying in even when he was crushing it. I mean, I picked him up in some leagues where he was there. I knew what he was going to do for a week or two. But Locklear, think there could be something really underrated here. Maybe he'll be the next Josh Naylor or something like that, which is a pretty lofty comparison. But yeah, I think I agree that Suarez's power is pretty freaky, so he'll probably still bash bombs out there. Naylor is probably going to take a nice little fantasy hit here, I would imagine. It wouldn't be shocking to see him like this, have these like 15 home run seasons if he's going to stick around in Seattle. We'll see. And he's still a good ball player, but that's an issue. And I would say it's not really involved in this trade at all, but Colt Emerson, you know, he's just starting to build up some power in the minor leagues, but I can't help but think like he's going to have another journey again if he makes it all the way to Seattle. It's just like, are we going to see what he can really do for fantasy purposes right away? I think it's a great real life deal for both sides, though. I'm excited for Locklear. And I think, sounds like I'm ripping on Naylor and Suarez or just Seattle in general. It's not like you can't be successful in Seattle. They've had home run hitters there. There's this one guy, his name's Kyle Riley. You probably never heard of him. But I think that's a good example of why Suarez won't be nerfed too much. But I think Naylor might be. But he's still going to rip doubles. They'll still be good. I think this is great for their team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm kind of right there with you. I think this will affect, you know, the average to above average power guy more than it'll affect the plus or better power guy. We're talking about obviously Naylor and Suarez there. So, and people have talked about how, you know, Suarez's stats weren't that great in Seattle, whatever. Like, you know, that was years ago. I mean, he's a different guy now. You know, not like terribly different, but yeah, you know, that was still a few years ago. So I'm not really putting too much stock in, you know, numbers from 3-4 years ago in Seattle for him, but. You know, the fact that he is just absolutely mashing this year, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, obviously Judge doing his thing, Raleigh doing his thing, you know, you might be talking about Suarez being the guy that could be leading the league in home runs. I think he's like fifth in the league in home runs right now. But yeah, I think slight downgrade for Naylor and, you know, maybe you could say a slight downgrade for Suarez as well, but I don't think it'll be like a big drop off. Like he's got what I like to call big boy power. So that usually transcends most ballparks there, but yeah, Locklear, though, he's sneaky. I mean, I've always kind of liked him, I think, a little bit more than most, though I have dropped down on my rankings a little bit over the last year or so, just because I wasn't sure, like, kind of what he was long-term, where he was going to fit in Seattle. I felt like he was kind of, like, falling out of favor there a little bit. But now, you know, plenty of opportunity in Arizona, as you mentioned, and he's having a good year, 19 home runs, 18 steals in AAA Tacoma before the trade, 316, 401, 542 slash line, and he's far from a burner, but this is a guy that he likes to run. And then that's part of the equation. We've seen guys that, you know, are below average runners still give you some steals. I mean, he's probably more of like an 8-10 steal guy as opposed to a 20 plus as the way he's been pacing this year. But if he can give you like 8-10 steals, I think he could be a upper teens home run guy, maybe low 20 some years. I think it's above average power. Look at his metrics in AAA. It was a 90.2 mile an hour average exit velocity, 44.5% hard hit rate, and a 9.5% barrel rate. Contact skills are right on average. So, you know, could he be like a 260, 2010 ish type? Yeah, I think that definitely is a possibility here. And that's, you know, maybe not a starter for you at like first base, but could that be like a decent corner infield type for you? I think so. So I think that's a pretty sneaky, you know, people looking at the big names going to Seattle, but this frees up some time for Locklear. So I think he's a good buy right now because I think the value is, you know, not super high in him right now. So like you can get him for a pretty reasonable price tag in dynasty leagues for sure. All right. A couple, we get several more big moves here. We kind of broke up the show, big moves, not so big moves, and then all the reliever moves here. So we'll keep going here with some of the other big moves. Ryan McMahon going to, you know, this was a little bit, you know, what, almost a week ago now, but kind of kicked off. I looked at everything over the last week. It's a couple of those older trades. Like Naylor was like a week or week and a half ago as well. Ryan McMahon going to the New York Yankees for Griffin Herring and Josh Groves, two pitching prospects going back to the Rockies. So, so long to them for any type of hype. Griffin Herring was getting some hype, but, you know, not anymore. But Ryan McMahon, you know, obviously the name to talk about here. Not having the greatest season on the surface, but you know, I think McMahon is a good buy right now before he really starts getting going here with the Yankees, because the metrics under the hood, pretty solid this year. He's hitting the ball hard. It's a 93.5 mile an hour average EV, around a 50% hard hit rate, 12.5% barrel rate, and he pulls the ball in the air. He's just a 60% air rate, 18% pull air rate. So as a lefty, Yankee Stadium, that's usually pretty good. So I think he's actually a solid buy right now. use that kind of bad 223, 320, 398 slash onto your advantage, because I think he could be a pretty solid, if you're a contending team, you know, I think Ryan McMahon could be a pretty low cost value target for you. But what are your thoughts here on Ryan McMahon, Doc?
Yeah, it doesn't really get me going, but it's also easy to forget that this guy at one point in his career gave us, well, twice, but he cracked the 80 RBI threshold. He gave us an 86 RBI season with 23 home runs, 83 RBI season with 24 home runs. The reason we don't remember it that well is because it was 2021 and 2019. Guy feels like he's been around. He feels like he's been around forever, but he also feels kind of young still, which I guess that's why he's 30, which is right in between, is right in his prime. I guess I'm not saying anything revolutionary, but yeah, his metrics are fantastic. But if you look back, they've kind of consistently been this way. Like, he hits the ball really hard, and maybe he hasn't gotten enough credit for that in the past, but it's probably because he strikes out way too much. Like, he actually does what I was just talking about. He's got some great, you know, ability to smack a ball. And he also takes a walk. And he actually, this year, hasn't been chasing very much. So, yeah, maybe, I don't know, man. Like, this wouldn't shock me. The thing that wouldn't shock me is if the Rockies, and I want you to sit down for this, the Rockies might not be the best at developing talent. and so, hey, you know, maybe not. But this could be a situation where the Yankees, I would say, are a better organization, frankly, historically, than the Colorado Rockies. I'm speaking very respectfully and maybe understating the situation. You know, maybe one of the most winningest organizations of all time might be able to unlock something more than the Colorado Rockies. Rooting for you, Colorado. It's better for baseball if you're better. So hope you turn things around. But yeah, Ryan McMahon, if it's going to happen, I guess it's better to do it at 30 than any years later. Maybe he'll have a little career renaissance here. It would be a fun story. I'm not pursuing him, but yeah, I mean, if I got him as like a throw-in offer at the deadline and I needed some depth in a deeper league, yeah, I mean, that's like an upside play. This is not necessarily a guy where you know what you're going to get, actually, because of this. He's never played anywhere but Colorado.
Right, yeah. And that's not, I don't think that's like revolutionary to say that the Yankees are better organization than the Rockies. It's almost like, you know, we talk about like FYPD, right? Like this year, Ethan Holliday going to the Colorado. You're like, oh, like one half of the brain's like, ooh, that bat potentially in Coors, yay. The other half of the brain's like, well, Colorado's development isn't the best. So,
yeah,
so it's like, it's almost like it cancels it out to some degree. But I think it could be a solid veteran there for the Yankees. So yeah, it feels like he should be like 35, honestly. But yeah, he's 30 years old. He was drafted way back 2013. I forgot he was a high school guy. If he was like a guy
that's insane.
Like, yeah, he was a high school guy, second round pick in 2013. But I could have sworn he was a collegiate guy, but I guess not. But yeah, drafted 12 years ago now. So yeah, he's been around for a bit. Still only 30 years old. Still a solid bat. Well, a lot of 20 homer seasons in there. Actually, pretty consistently like a 240-ish, 20-ish guy. So yeah, that definitely has some value for sure. All right, moving on here. Keep it in the American League East. Shane Bieber going from Cleveland to the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for Cal Steven, who's been one of the bigger pop-up pitching prospects in the low minors this year. But we'll start with Bieber. He actually had another rehab outing this afternoon. Looked pretty good. I think he was up to, I think it was 62 pitches, I want to say. So you got to imagine he's probably one or two more rehab outings in AAA before he joins Toronto. Obviously a former Cy Young winner, you know, back in, I believe it was 2020, the shortened year he won the Cy Young. And then obviously has been out since the second game he started last year. So haven't seen him in about, 18, 19 months or so. He's 30 years old as well. So obviously a lot of upside here with Bieber. A lot of risk as well, given the, you know, he's coming off a major injury here. You know, where are you at on Bieber these days, Doc? Is he a guy you're still intrigued by for Dynasty, or is he too risky for you to want to go after?
I don't know. He's like one of the weirdest players to evaluate. He's just turned 30. He was 29 2 months ago. Which, like, again, it feels like he should be 34 at a minimum. But yeah, he's still like pretty young, especially for a pitcher. These guys can pitch till they're 40 sometimes. Imagine that. Imagine like 35 to 40. That's when he finally stays healthy, Charlie Morton era.
maybe.
So maybe like that, like straight up for dynasty purposes, that could be if you get a discount on him for dirt cheap. He's been different guys. He's been different profiles throughout his career. He's had that electric strikeout stuff. And then he kind of had to reimagine himself, and it worked out for a season. 2022, he had, you know, 2.88 ERA. The next year, it jumped up to 3.8. So that's a difference. And frankly, his profile was kind of the same. Like the strikeouts were dipping down both years. And yeah, it's just like, who are we going to get? Which version are we going to get? I don't know. It seems to me someone always likes Bieber a little bit more than I do. They're willing to pay a little bit more for him. Because again, like this is a weird profile. 214 innings pitched in 2019. Then, you know, kind of, you know, goes away. But the next season was 2020, so we don't really know what would have happened. 2021, then, you know, he doesn't go up to 200 again until 2022, which 200 innings sounds almost like foreign these days. We don't even, like, have that anymore. Right. Hey, guys, just, like, maybe we just chill with this guy, because then he did 128 and then 12, and then, you know, we're waiting for him to come back again. So well, I don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully they can, like, maybe just have some moderation. He seems to either do under almost like 100 or under 100, and then they just jack him up to 200 right away. He's got, yeah, he has no season in the major leagues between 128 innings and 200 innings. he's a man of extremes. So yeah, that's just a long way of saying I'm interested at the right price, but I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, no, he's been a harder one to rank because of you kind of hit it. Like there's a wide range of potential outcomes here. We've seen Bieber be really good, and then obviously we haven't seen him pitch at all for the last year and a half. So you know, I am intrigued. You know, the velo is up a little bit right now in his rehab outing today on Sunday afternoon. Four-seamer averaged 93.1. It was 92 last year in his two starts. So that's a little bit encouraging because he was more like 93, 94 when he was like kind of peak Bieber. He was more like 91, 92 now the last couple of years. So nice to see that's up. You know, cutter, slider, curve, changeup. He was throwing all four of the secondaries to go along with that four seamer. And yeah, he was at 62 pitches today. So probably again another rehab outing or two. But I'm intrigued to some degree. But I think similarly to what you said, I feel like there's always going to be somebody or more than one person in my league that likes him more than I do. I don't have any shares right now. I'm not really looking to go out and get him, but I feel like he could be a decent target for you, you know, if you need another arm, but it's so risky. I'm just not sure exactly what to expect. Though he has looked good in his rehab outings, especially today. I think he gave up 2 runs and 5 innings with 6 Ks, I believe it was. But pretty intriguing arm going back to Cleveland here. With Cal Steven, who between actually 3 levels now, low A, high A, and just made his double A debut recently. Pretty good season. He has a 2.06 ERA, 0.91 whip, 5% walk rate, and a strikeout rate right around 28%. He was, you know, a second rounder last year for Toronto, and now over to Cleveland here via way of Purdue. Strong 6'4", 6'5", righties, 215, 220 or so. Got long flowing, kind of like Noah Syndergaard looking hair. Not like a huge velocity guy. You know, it's a solid 4-pitch mix, but he's just really advanced, a like high floor guy. You know, doesn't walk. You know, he had a 5% walk rate this year, commands the pitch as well. Doesn't have that one wow offering, but it's a solid 4-pitch mix with good command and control. So I think he could be like a, you know, good SP3-4 type of everything clicks for Cal Steven. But you have any thoughts here on Steven here, Doc?
Yeah, I remember looking into this guy before. And I don't know if it's because I think of Cal Drogo or what, but I'm always shocked at his ethnicity because I looking at him, I'm like, I'm from Indiana. Or was, you know, that's where I made and raised my family. And I'm seeing which area he's from. I'm like, really? Guy named Cal out there. I click on him. Yeah, he's like the whitest guy in the world. But he's got a great build. I'd say keep an eye on that. It says it's mild, but he's got a shoulder impingement right now. I don't think anyone's trading for him or trading Shane Bieber for him if they're really concerned. So I you could probably forget I even said that. Love to see the mix of strikeouts with command. I'm a command fetishist, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but, and I like a guy who can keep his walks per nine under three for sure. And this guy, he's actually kept it even under two a lot of the time. So upside here, I'm not sure if it's through the roof, like you said, but you know, he's a big righty. Maybe he'll give you a bunch of innings and limit the walks. I'm old school with pitchers. I like to play it that way. So
yeah,
maybe he's, there's not like a ton of hype off of him, but I do like the name. Makes me think of Khal Drogo.
You know, and it's kind of funny that he was traded for Bieber, because, you know, back when Bieber was a prospect, he wasn't like the super elite ranked prospect. Like, he was more of like the, oh, hey, look at this like high command control guy. He's got like a high floor. I mean, that, how I describe Steven is kind of, to some degree, how a lot of people were describing Bieber like 8-9 years ago, whenever he was a prospect. So I'm not saying Steven's going to turn into Bieber by any means, but yeah, it's always good to have that, you know, high floor, you know, good command profile. And he can miss some bats too. It's not like it's a 20% K rate. It's 27% K rate. That's above average. So some intrigue here. And I want to see, you know, Toronto's been doing better with pitching development over the last 3-4 years, especially this year. But getting him into Cleveland, that's pretty intriguing. I want to see, you know, what Cleveland might be able to unlock here. Obviously, one of the better pitching development organizations in baseball. So definitely intriguing there. So that was kind of a fun little deal there. So Bieber probably back, I'd say, another week or two. You'll see him up in Toronto.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry, because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite to mobile network? They're way ahead, making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again. After last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
A couple other, you know, we had three other starting pitchers moved here. Michael Soroka going to the Chicago Cubs. For prospects Christian Franklin and Ronnie Cruz, you had Merrill Kelly going to the Texas Rangers. For pitching prospects Cole Drake, David Hageman, and Mitch Brott. And every time I hear Mitch Brott's name, I think of, you know, the sound you make when you're describing a dirt bike, like Brott, Brott. You know, that's just, I don't know why it makes me think of that, but Mitch Brott going to, that sounded more like a parrot, actually. That was terrible. But Mitch Brott, David Hageman, and Cole Drake going to Arizona in that deal, and then Dustin May going to the Red Sox for James Tibbs the third. So I think Soroka, he's been an interesting one here this year, Doc, because, you know, look at the surface stats and some like the, you know, the expected metrics haven't really lined up. You look on the surface, Soroka 16 starts, you got a 4.87 ERA. You're like, eh, that's not fun, but it's a 1.13 whip. That's pretty good. That's 3.33 xERA. That's also pretty good. And he has a 25.5% strikeout rate and only a 7% walk rate. So kind of, you know, having a little bit of a mid-career resurgence here, now going to the Cubs. Are you intrigued by Michael Soroka right now?
No, absolutely not. It's, no? no, brother. I'm old school. I look at if I see your ERA, your lowest ERA since 2020 is 4.74, I get a little freaked out. And by the way, 2020 was 3.95. Like, it's been since 2019 since he's really been like a solid guy for me. I know people like him, and yeah, it's just I guess I don't get it. I guess major league clubs see something in him because they keep giving him shots, but got a good build. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe they like him because he's Canadian, but the I don't know, man. He's not for me. And the Windy City, it can help you when the wind's blowing in, but it doesn't help you when it's going out. So I'll skip out on him.
Yes, I've never been a big Soroka guy, so I'm not really going after him. But I will say I'm at least a little intrigued. If I can get him for like super cheap, I'm not like opposed to it because you know he does have, like I said, 3.33 xERA. But that only can go so much. I mean, it's great to see, and you might think, yeah, he's getting a little, you know, unlucky, you know, but at the same time, I don't know any league where xERA is a category either. So, yeah, I guess I'm like very, very slightly intrigued. I mean, he's missing more bats than he ever has. That's good. Walk rate's down. That's good. But yeah, it would have to be kind of like what you were saying about like a Ryan McMahon. If I got Soroka as like a throw in, I'm not going out to try to trade for him, but if I got him as like a throw in, you know, if he's on a, you know, a non-contending team right now in my league, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'll give you Soroka too as like a sweetener." Okay, you know, for some depth, I could be get behind that. But what about, you know, the funnest name out of those three pitchers I just mentioned that were traded, Dustin May, going to the Boston Red Sox? I mean, he's really fun to watch. I mean, you know, pitching ninjas, bunch of gifts on him because, you know, he's got wiffle ball stuff, but it's been an extremely inconsistent career for Dustin May, both in terms of production and just staying on the field. I mean, this year he's finally over 100 innings this year for the first time in his career, but it's a 4.85 ERA, 1.35 WHIP, slightly below average strikeout rate. You know, xERA is right in line, so it's not like he's been unlucky or anything like that. A lot of blue on the Savant page too, like not a super high WHIP rate or anything like that. He's getting hit around a good bit with the hard hit rate being 44% allowed. I don't know. I'm so lukewarm on May now. Like, I'm not out of May. He's still 27. He's still got good stuff. But I feel like hitters just know that his stuff moves so much that if they see like a sinker coming in over the middle of the plate, that's just going to dart, you know, off the inside or something like that. So while it's fun stuff, I don't think it's effective stuff. So at this point, again, I'm not out on May, but I've definitely soured a bit on May. I just wonder if he's always going to be this fun but super inconsistent guy that's just gonna have like pretty bad ratios overall. But I don't know, maybe, are you higher on May than me?
No, I have been saying for years, why is this guy not going to the pen? And it's funny because Now he's got over 100 innings, but like the results aren't there now. So I think like you just want him to kind of get a little bit more reckless with it. You can be a bit more reckless in short bursts, maximize that filth in short bursts, you know, just don't try to, what I would guess he'd be doing is trying to moderate a little bit so he can not break entirely. That's what I would probably do if I was told to be a starting pitcher or if I really wanted to be a starting pitcher. But yeah, it might be the most useful thing for his fantasy purposes and for his career to become a reliever, like a high octane reliever. That would be fun. He kind of looks like it. He's got that crazy kind of, you know, ginger look. I'm doing a lot of look stuff tonight. It's all about, you know, the baseball card. So yeah, 27 years old, the future's right there in front of him. I didn't realize he was 6'6". Yeah. Closer, dude. This guy's a closer. Put him in there. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope the best for him. I like the other trade too, though. The Texas trade.
Yeah. Merrill Kelly, I think. Before I get to him, yeah, Dustin May, I've always kind of thought that too, at least to some degree. Like, could this guy just thrive better out of the bullpen? I mean, he's averaging around 95-ish, both, you know, give or take a little bit either way on the sinker and the four-seamer. This year, you got to imagine in relief, maybe that's 97. You got the mid-80s sweeper, you know, low 90s cutter, although the cutter's been absolutely terrible this year. But, yeah, I don't know what the role is. He's a rental. He's a free agent of this year. So I have no idea where he's going to be next year, if it's going to be in Boston as a re-signee or elsewhere. But yeah, like I said, I'm not out on May, but I've definitely soured a lot on Dustin May. But yeah, Merrill Kelly, I think is kind of like one of the sneakier names that got moved at the deadline because he's old. He's 36. And I can say that because I am not yet 36 years old, but he's a year older than I am, but he's having a good year. And he's been kind of one of those late career. He went overseas. He came back and he's been pretty solid. And two of the last 3 years, ERA under 3.3. He had a 3.29 ERA in 2023. And even, you know, if you go back 3 years, three out of the last four, he's been under a 3.4 ERA, 3.37 ERA in 200 and a third innings in 2022. Then 3.29 in 177 and two thirds in 2023. Last year, you know, he's limited to the 13 games, had a couple injuries. ERA went up, but just a 4.03 was like, it was terribly high. But this year, 3.22 in 22. Starts 121 strikeouts to 38 walks, a whip just over one at 1.06. Now he goes to a rotation. He's joining up with DeGrom. He's joining up with Eovaldi, with Kumar Rocker. Pretty darn good rotation there. So Merrill Kelly's one of those guys I think could be a value target for contending teams. Because again, he's 36. It never costs a lot to get these 36-year-olds. So I think he's still a pretty solid guy for you for short-term value.
I think both sides win here. The Rangers love that they went for it. No one's really counting on them to do anything. They don't feel like a team of destiny at this point, but Adolis Garcia is quietly like kind of getting hot. Like, and like all it takes is like, you know, RIP Evan Carter. I'm so mad his back conked out again, but you know, Wyatt Langford, I know you like him too, man.
I love Langford.
Know.
Yep.
Yeah, if he starts crushing baseballs, if Garcia, Seager, you know, it's a good team. It's a similar team to the one that won the World Series not too long ago. You know, they were only a game out of the wild card, and they made the moves. You know, they went out and got the relievers. They got the starters. I love that. That's just a winning energy, and you have to do it with how the team's built right now. And I got to say, though, Arizona came out looking pretty good. Merrill Kelly is perfect for what the Rangers are doing, but I got to say, I thought it was Mitch Bratt. But that's just because I like to not know how to say things. And Cole Drake, have we talked about Cole Drake before? I think so. I'm having a little flashback, maybe to when we had you on Dynasty Dingers.
Yeah, I think you're a big Cole Drake guy, aren't you?
Big Cole Drake guy. And so he's that guy who I was told we were reading where he came from. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my car broke down in that middle of nowhere, Arkansas, and I had to wait 4 hours for it to get fixed. That had it to put a new tire on there. And so, yeah, he's just kind of had an interesting career. It's all been uphill. It's like a way different version of Caleb Durbin because he's 6'5", 240 or something. He's actually got a workhorse build. He's got a great build. He's a lefty, too. It's very interesting. He's a little bit older for a prospect. But, yeah, so he's doing, unfortunately, right now what's happening is what happened last year. So there's a pros and a con here. So the con is he's stumbling a little bit at AAA all of a sudden after crushing AA this year. But last year when he first reached AA, he was having some struggles there. And people were thinking, ah, yeah, it was a mirage. Okay, he's just an older prospect who's crushing low and high A. Now, but then this year he crushed double A. And now he's having some, so maybe he's just, that's him. I know Augustin Ramirez, you know, he was like that for hitting. I was so obvious. It was such like a documentable thing he did at every level, which is almost what you would expect any prospect to do. But some prospects just do weird things where they crush one level and they suck at the next one. It's just a kind of a bigger roller coaster. Whereas this is just like a video game. You have to level up. It's hard for a bit until you get that XP and then you move on up. And so Cole Drake is just progressing in his own way right now. I think he's going to work out really well. I think him and Bratt could be really good for the Diamondbacks for years to come. That's a great trade.
Yeah, I think Drake and Bratt are the two bigger names, but you know, Hageman's a pretty low-key arm as well. I think who was the super high on him? I think it's Chris Welsh, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's Chris Welsh that's pretty high on Hageman. But yeah, Drake this year, I mean, like you mentioned, he's been, you know, scuffling a little bit at AAA, but you know, the big thing with him, he's always been a good bat mister. You look at some of the strikeout rates here. In the minor leagues, 2023 at the complex and low A combined for a 25.3% K rate. That's pretty solid. 2024, low A, high A, double A, 35.4%. That's phenomenal. And this year it's back down a bit, but still a good 29% between double A and triple A. This was nearly 32% in double A, and it's around 22.5% so far on triple A. But yeah, the Diamondbacks definitely needed some pitchers. Their system is very hitting heavy in terms of their top guys. So I think they did a good job kind of restocking the system on the pitching side, especially here. So yeah, pretty solid move there for both teams. I think that was a good move for both teams, because Texas has a lot of pitching prospects right now. So I think they were able to trade from that kind of area of depth for them. But all right, moving on here. One last bigger name here that was moved. Carlos Correa going back to the Houston Astros, and all those jokes out there like, oh, here's the first look at Correa in an Astros uniform. Check out my paint skills. Those were I saw about 2,000 of those after the trade happened. But Correa and Cash going to the Astros for a pitching prospect, Matt Mikulski. But Correa's been, I mean, I've never been like a super big Correa guy, but obviously he's going back to a place where he has had a lot of success, a lot of experience there. Obviously, a very good power park for right-handed bats. Correa's kind of having a weird year. Last year, he hit .310 with a .517 slug with 14 home runs in 367 plate appearances. This year, .266, .318, .390. He's hitting the ball hard, though. That's still the case, but this hasn't really translated to a lot of success on the surface line. 8 home runs in 377 plate appearances. Already has a home run back with his former team there with Houston. He's still only 30 years old. He's a guy that feels like he should be like 33, 34 at this point. But he was another guy who was drafted way back in 2012 as well. So he's been around for a good long time at this point. But
he's only 30?
Yeah, he's only 30. Yep.
That's crazy, oh man, right? He's joining the club. He's joining the Bieber club.
Yeah,
that's crazy, dude. I'm shocked.
They're both 30 years old and both high school draftees in the 2012 draft class. That's kind of fun right there. But Correa, though, are you intrigued by Correa? I know everyone either loves him or just can't stand him. So where are you at in Correa right now?
I mean, I guess I'm going to be like radical. I'll be an extremist. I'm going to be right in the middle. I'll be radically neutral. I don't really have feelings about Carlos Correa. I just don't think about him. Again, he is someone, I guess, similar to Bieber. There's always someone who likes him a little bit more than me. I am a baseball romantic. I love these kind of reunions. I think that's a lot of fun. When did he make his debut? He made his debut in 2015. I remember back then. And he's like the least 6'3", 220 guy who's ever been 6'3", 220. I just feel like he feels like more of like a 6'1", 180 guy. Like that's just his skill set. He never has felt like he's tapped into that power that you would think you'd see from there. But yeah, he's an all around good player. This is a good deal for Houston if they're wanting to be, competitive and obviously, make a trade for this kind of player unless you plan on that. So it's good. I think it's pretty low cost for them too. I'm interested to see like the finances behind it. Maybe we'll see how low cost it really is. I know there's a big contract there. I think the Twins are taking most of it from what I recall or what I would imagine for this to be able to happen in the first place. But yeah, it's good. I wish Nolan Arenado went there because that would have been fun for both the Cardinals being able to start over and Arenado being useful in fantasy again, smashing those Crawford boxes. But
right.
This will play too. This will be fine. And hey, Correa. Yeah, that could be fun. Those Crawford boxes might get his power back up to something maybe more fantasy friendly.
Yeah, no, it definitely could. Like I say, he's been hitting the ball hard, and obviously they kind of need him to make this move given the injury to Isak Paredes. But yeah, I mean, he's got a 91 mile an hour average EV, which is actually his career best mark there. 47.8% hard hit rate, also a career best mark. K rate's under 20%. I mean, there's still some solid metrics here. Above average contact skills as well, 86% zone, about 77.5% overall, just hitting everything into the ground for the most part. So, yeah, I think this is a slight uptick in value. I'm not going to be going after Correa. I've never been a Correa guy, but if you're a Correa guy, then yeah, I think this is a little bit of an uptick in value going back to Houston here. All right, those are the bigger moves. There's a lot of other smaller moves, a lot of which aren't fantasy relevant, but I picked some of them to put on here, so we'll kind of clip them together, see if Doc, you look anything out of this group of trades. Chris Paddock and Randy Dobnak went to the Tigers for minor league catcher Enrique Jimenez. Eric Fede went to the Braves for a player to be named later or Cash. Harrison Bader went to the Phillies for Henry Mendez and Jeremy Valoria. Cedric Mullins, probably the biggest name in this group, went to the Mets for Anthony Nunez, Ramon Gomez, and Chandler Marsh, going back to Baltimore. Ke'Bryan Hayes went to a different National League Central team, going to the Cincinnati Reds for Sammy Stafura and Taylor Rogers. And then Jose Caballero went to the New York Yankees, and then Everson Pereira and a player to be named later, or Cash, going back to Tampa Bay. So anything, anybody from any of those trades interest you right now that you want to talk about there, Doc?
Man, I'm going to say that Cedric Mullins, I mean, that's fun for his fantasy value. Ke'Bryan Hayes, I actually meant to write about him today. And so this is like kind of your best case scenario with him. We're going to find out, right? Like, can he ever get somewhere kind of somewhat interesting with the power? If it's not going to happen at Great American Ballpark, it's never going to happen. You know, he's just been considered a really star defender, if you want to be honest, been considered a star defender and, you know, all around ball player, but just, you know, not super sexy. So that'll be fun. I remember Stafura had some, had some buzz coming out of the draft. Frankly, man, I mean, can I throw a couple other trades in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a couple other ones. So I think those are definitely very interesting. And Fetty, goodness gracious, that's the Braves deadline summarized, huh? Like you're supposed to sell.
They were like super quiet. Like that, I think that was their only move that I recall. They were just like sitting on their hand. I mean, I guess they're in a weird spot where it's like they have a lot of big names, but they're for the most part underperforming. There's a lot of injured guys. I don't know. That's kind of they also got some. There's another pitcher they got. They got Fede, and then they got like another random name. Who was that?
I don't remember either,
but that was it. I'm like, yeah, that was a really, really quiet deadline. Very un-Braves deadline for them. But go ahead and add a couple other deals in if you want.
Yeah, yeah. So I will say I love the – and actually, one of them you'll find interesting. Well, we'll end with that one so you can transfer right into it because you might not want to talk about Callan Moss. We had him on the Dynasty Dingers podcast. This guy is super underrated. If you're in a deep league, Callan Moss was a Royal – was until the deadline. A Royals prospect, 6'3", 220. Baseball America has been big on this guy, Jeff Ponce. This is a guy who hits the ball really hard. He came out of the Appalachian League. He's still pretty young. He's big. He's got like an underdog story. As you can tell, I like those guys. And so his stats right now are great. He's got like, he's a big guy. He's got like a 370 OBP or something right now in the minors. He's stealing bases now for some reason. I asked him on the podcast why he's fast now. He said he's specifically been speed training. And so just really cool story. And he's big. He's going to play into that power. Him going to Pittsburgh is less fun for me because I like the Royals more than I like Pittsburgh. But it's good for his fantasy outlook because he's going to get up faster. He's not going to be blocked like he would be in KC. And he's going to be maybe if everything works out, he'll be up and mashing in Connor Griffin for years to come. So stash that name away. Ryan Burgert staying on the Royals. He was doing well with the Padres, right? Ryan Burgert. This is kind of a deeper thing. And by the way, kudos to the Padres for getting Freddie Freeman back, who's actually way better offensive catcher than Diaz out there. So that's going to help them significantly, actually, on the offense. But Burgert feels like he's going to be a classic Royals. Like this era of Royals where they just bring in these like Lugos and Wackas and somehow they just make them sexy-ish. Sure. So I think Burgert could be that guy. He's young, too. And then the last one, and you could talk about any of these, but I think you're going to want to talk about Blaze Jordan. Blaze Jordan, you are a Cardinal. And of course he's a Cardinal, man. Like he's gone from like this home run hitting high schooler, teenager to a classic Cardinal profile. Like, oh, it's like really it's turning into something kind of productive somehow. Yep. It's really boring. He's going to be Alec Burleson in 5 years. Like, you know, it's going to be like this really in and out. He'll play like, you know, 100 at bats a year for 2 years. And then suddenly he'll hit 18 home runs. He'll be like, oh, of course he did. Yeah, Blaze Jordan, Cardinal.
Yeah, no, that was a sneaky, you know, fun deal there. Steven Matz going to the Red Sox. But Blaze Jordan was a guy who I saw a ton of. I felt like he was in Double-A Portland for like 6 years. At least I felt like it. So I probably saw Jordan 30, 40, 50, I don't even know, a lot. I saw Jordan a lot. So I was pretty close to being out on him last year. It was very lackluster. He wasn't bad. The metrics were okay under the hood. But I was like, this guy's just never going to be more than like maybe a bench guy. But, and I'm still not even sure he's like this guy's going to be a starter long-term type of guy, but I've definitely kind of warmed back up to him this year. You know, the contact skills have been pretty good. The approach has been good and not striking out a lot. The power isn't what it used to be, or at least not what we thought it could be. Like you mentioned, he was, you know, the high school teenager mashing home runs. Now it's like, you know, around average game power, I'd say. Maybe he's like a 15 to 18 homer guy, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm glad you brought up Alec Burleson. I was going to mention that. I'm like, would it be surprising if he was a Burleson type, if everything clicks for him? That's a solid. Burleson's been a solid player. Not like super sexy for fantasy, but you know, he's valuable in your deeper formats for sure. So
batting average only, fire me up. 280. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, it gives you a home run every now and then, but that was a sneaky move as well. And Callum Moss, like you mentioned, that is a sneaky kind of prospect guy. Good approach. Walk rate's about 13%. Contact rate's around 75%. You know, you mentioned, you know, above average power as well. I thought he was older than he was. I thought he was like a 23, 24-year-old guy. He's almost 20. He'll be 22 end of this month. But, in high A right now for Pittsburgh. So, definitely a sneaky prospect there as well. A couple of names I wanted to mention is from this grouping, or a couple of things I wanted to mention. With Cabrian Hayes now with the Reds, looks like Nolby Marte is moving to the outfield, so that's kind of fun. Not really a good third baseman anyway, so it's probably the best move for the Reds to be making real life. So get some outfield eligibility there pretty soon for Nolby Marte, who's been hitting pretty well this year with the Reds. And then what was the move here? Oh, Mullen's going to the Mets. Kind of maybe opens up a spot for Dylan Beavers to come up at some point later this season. Though I know, you know, the jokes are being made already with how Baltimore's, you know, handled their prospects over the last couple of years. But I like Dylan Beavers a lot. Yeah, it's, you know, above average hit. You know, it's good contact, really good approach. He's a plus approach guy, above average contact guy. Power's about average. And he's probably like a 15, 18 homer guy, but he's above average speed. So it's one of those, you know, profiles that nothing – I said, you know, the approach stands out, but it's not like a sexy profile. But when you add everything together, it's a pretty good offensive player all around that gives you some solid production in all five categories. So I think he had two home runs today on Sunday. He's been really hot lately in AAA. So I think he's up at some point over the remainder of the season. And he probably could be a pretty good fantasy asset for you. Any thoughts there on Dylan Beavers?
Yeah, I've been up and down on him. After the first time I ever heard, this is a good little anecdote, ever heard of Dylan Beavers, this is before I was even doing guru kind of stuff. I was just following, I remember seeing on your account, there was a guy under you, he's this guy with glasses, he's kind of a nerdy guy, he's a nice guy, he comments on my stuff too, but he called out Dylan Beavers, and I looked him up. I'm like, yeah, there's something here. Since then, I've gone like this with Dylan Beavers. You know, he's gained an inch. He was 6'4". I know he was 6'4" before on Baseball Reference. He's now listed at 6'5". So good for him. But yeah, he's just like the. But his power for a 6'5" apparently guy has just been not where you'd want it to be. Maybe it never will be. I will say I don't think it's fair what people are saying about the Orioles with their prospects. It actually, beyond not fair, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, we are thinking about Coby Mayo, but that's kind of all we're thinking about here. Maybe you could make an argument with Kyle Stowers. You could make an argument. But that's not been the only way it's gone. Like Westbrook, they let him roll with it, and it worked. I mean, he got to play. Jackson Holliday, they've been pretty stubborn with Jackson Holliday. They're putting him out there. It's like, no, this is not everyone. I mean, it's tricky, but frankly, Mayo's been hot and cold. I don't necessarily 100% agree with how they've rolled him out, but I think most of it's fantasy GM's frustrations. And obviously the Orioles are not doing something right because they look at their season, but yeah, we'll see. I don't know what to think of Beavers. I think he's more of a 15 home run guy, maybe tops, maybe 50, maybe has a 20 season in him, but at this point, I would be a little surprised. It's so weird because, yeah, his frame's big, but I think you're going to see him be just more of like a, just like a high average guy, steal some bases for you. Maybe he'll give you like a 15 home run, 20 stolen bases season. How's he stealing? Yeah, he steals lots of bases. Yeah, so he could be fun for fantasy in a weird way.
Yeah, it's a more of a, more of like a sum of the parts guy than like, oh, he's giving you big power, big speed. But
yeah,
just does a lot of things, you know, well, or doesn't really have any, no glaring weaknesses there. Like there's no high K rate. There's no like lack of power. There's no like bad, batted ball angles, anything like that. So yeah, I think Beavers is a pretty solid all around prospect. So maybe we see him get a shot here. Be fun. You know, a little bit of fun for Baltimore down the stretch. Maybe they bring up him and Pasayo to you know, play for them.
Bring up Pasayo. Come on.
Maybe after, I think, what is it, 45 days? So maybe around the 14th, 15th of the month. I forget when the end of the season is. If it's, I think it's 29th or 30th of September. So I think we'll start seeing some of these guys up in the middle of August here after, so they can keep their rookie eligibility going into next season. But yeah, definitely a fun name there. Let's close out the show with some closers because there was a lot of them traded. I mean, we already talked about Mason Miller, but that was far from the only reliever that got moved at the deadline this year. Several others here, you know, some bigger, some smaller. Yoan Duran went to the Philadelphia Phillies for Mick Abel, who pitched today, and AAA was pitched pretty well. And catcher Eduardo Tait, one of the better young catching prospects in baseball right now, a lot of power there. David Bednar and Camilo Doval went to the Yankees. A bunch of prospects going back to Pittsburgh. Rafael Flores, Edgleen Perez, and Brian Sanchez. And then to San Francisco, Tristan Vierling, Jesus Rodriguez, Parks Harbor, and Carlos De La Rosa. And then Sir Anthony Dominguez went to the Blue Jays for Jerron Watts Brown. He's going back to Baltimore. Griffin Jacks going to Tampa Bay for Taj Bradley. That's pretty fun. We'll get into that in a second. Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers to the Mets. Going back to St. Louis, Jesus Baez, Nate Dom, and Frank Ellisalt. And going to the Mets, Jose Buto, Blade Tidwell, and Drew Gilbert. Going to San Fran, excuse me. So a lot of names there. We'll start with that Jax for Taj Bradley trade here, Doc. I mean, I think Jax, you know, obviously he's more of a saves holds guy. I mean, you know, he'll be in the mix there, but definitely not the guy there in Tampa Bay. But Taj Bradley, I feel this could be a good like change of scenery move for Bradley. I mean, it's never great as a pitcher to leave Tampa Bay, but there's still some talent here. Just hasn't really put it together this year. 4.61 ERA in 21 starts, 1.28 WHIP. You know, he's not missing as many bats this year. You know, K rate's down 6.5% from last year. Walk rate's up about a full percentage point, but you know, still talented, still 24 years old. Are you intrigued as like a buy low potential here for Taj Bradley, Doc?
He's never really been one of my guys. And I looked at his numbers before this season. And I said, I guess maybe I'm being harsh on him. And now he's sucking. And I'm like, my gut was right. I don't want these guys to have a hard time. These are human beings, especially before they make that first big paycheck. I'm rooting for them. But, you know, he'll get chances. And pitching's a weird game. I was feeling like a pitching guru coming into the season because I just couldn't do wrong last year. And I still got some good hits, but I feel like this year my teams, their bats are all crushing it. I feel like all of my arms are just completely deceased. Like they're injured. Like all my
same here. Yep.
Okay. Maybe it's just a league wide thing, but gosh, some of my biggest fantasy crushes are just destroyed. So maybe I don't know anything about that, or maybe you can't predict that. I like the Griffin Jack side. Here's the deal, man. Like I filter things more through my 30 teamer. When I say that, I don't just mean the league depth. I mean, it's a saves and holds you'll usually have in those 30 teamers. And frankly, you know, like you when it's 30 teams, you just want like a good baseball player. It kind of just comes back. It's more like real baseball, right? And so, you know, whether it's starter or whether it's a reliever, you know, these guys are trying to get out batters, and you want the best out there. And so Griffin Jacks, I think, is going to be a good asset. Bradley, yeah, I mean, maybe he'll unlock something. It'll be great. I think there's potential there, but I mean, geez, I think that people are kind of sleeping on Cole Sands. Remember coming into 2025, he had some hype. He had a good season last year. This season hasn't been as strong for the last Minnesota Twin reliever standing, but I think it's pretty clear he's going to get a shot to be the closer. Maybe nothing comes of it. Maybe he blows it. Anything can happen. I thought Ryan Walker was going to be, you know, he's going to be the next big thing in San Francisco, and he blew it. I mean, people rightfully thought Devin Williams, or maybe, you know, even Emmanuel Clase, remember him? Yeah. You know, they thought those guys were going to be rock solid, and so far, no, never mind, right? So it's a crazy game right now, more than ever, I think, relief pitchers. So Griffin Jacks is solid, but yeah, Cole Sands, if you're playing Dynasty, you're playing Fantasy, but if you're playing Dynasty, sometimes these deeper leagues, 20 to 30 man, it's like finding that closer. Finding closers can be hard. Sometimes it's harder than finding a starter. So don't sleep on Cole Sands. You might be able to get him off free agents or waiver wires right now.
Yeah, so especially you said 30 teamers. I mean, if you got one good close, if you got a closer, I mean, that's average. 30 teamers, 30 major league teams, boom. So yeah, it's been a tough tough pitching year. My team has been, like, especially one of my team. It's just an 18 team dynasty league I'm in for my Patreon, my Discord subscribers. I have currently on the IL Seth Halverson, Tony Gonsolin, Tanner Houck, Rhett Lauder, Felix Bautista, Tanner Scott, Grayson Rodriguez, Ryan Weathers, Christian Scott. So it's like this. I finished, I think, third last year, and I was gearing up for a title run this year. I think I'm, what am I in right now? I'm a 10th right now. So I've been mid pack because my pitching has just been decimated.
That's brutal because it's an 18 teamer for sure. I got a 12 team home league, so I can bounce back a little better, but these names are bigger. This is crazy. So Cole Reagans, Pablo Lopez, Justin Steele, Ryan Weathers, Chris Sale, Bubik, Reese Olson. Those last two just happened. It just got punch. And I got Michael King in like every league. So it's been tough, dude. I'm still in playoff contention. I didn't hear no bell.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Reese Olson. My home league too, my 12 team home keeper league with one of my high school friends. Yeah, Reese Olson was like the final gut punch for me on that team. I have a lot of injuries on that team too. That I had to go out and make a trade for some pitching. So
yeah,
that was the last one where I was like, oh, I love Olson, and boom, now he's out for the year. So yeah, it's been a really tough pitching year for sure here. But yeah, a lot of relievers moving here. I think, you know, the biggest Cole Sands moving into that closer spot for Minnesota because half of their bullpen was in AAA a couple days ago. So that's fun. I think, you know, in San Francisco, Randy Rodriguez is going to be a fun guy there. In St. Louis, it's probably looking like Jojo Romero. That's another bullpen where, you know, half of their guys were, I think, in AAA last week. But real quick on Bradley, I still like Bradley. I think there's still some good, you know, good traits here. You know, he's got a good four pitch mix. You know, the cutter, splitter, and curveball all had a whiff rate above 30% last year, and they've all kind of ticked down a little bit. But you know, there's not any, you know, there's like no bad pitches in the arsenal. Like the fastball, it's a 277 batting average against. That's not terrible. You know, three of the four pitches have a batting average against under 240 and a slug under 360. So I think there's still a good pitcher here. Is he going to be a stud? Probably not. But could he be a back end top 50 guy if he figures it out? I think so. There's definitely a possibility. So I think he's a good buy low right now, given that the perceived value has probably dropped a good bit in your dynasty league. So I'd personally look to go after a Taj Bradley here. But just a lot of names on the move here. Like I said, Mick Abel. I've seen Mick Abel a couple times live. Really fun stuff. But the command and control has been kind of wonky, though better this year. So I'm a little bit more intrigued right now. You should get a shot to start with Minnesota down the stretch as well. Tait. A lot of power, still pretty aggressive. Contact skills are, you know, kind of in the mid 60% range last time I checked. So needs to improve that, but definitely a really fun player there. But
yeah, he's a stud. Like he could be one of the best catching prospects. That's one of those trades that just you won't see in almost any fantasy league.
Right. But yeah, a lot of fun names on the move here. Any other name in this section, whether it be major leaguer or prospect you wanted to talk about before we close out the show here, Doc?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see what happens with the Cardinals Hall. I'm not super familiar with these prospects, but I know Jesus Baez has got some hype behind him with the Ryan Helsley deal. And Dome, I think the Cardinals did the right thing. They did some boring trades where you just see like endless pitchers. I counted, by the way, Orioles took in over 10 pitching prospects. And with pitching prospects, like you just never know which ones are going to pop next. So quantity over quality, maybe that's the trick. This has been a fun episode, man. There's so many trades. I feel like we definitely had to. I feel like I was reading some today, and I honestly was like, did I even remember Nestor Cortes got traded? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, there are so many trades. I mean, we could have gone another hour on this, but obviously can't talk about every trade. And a lot of them weren't fantasy relevant, obviously those smaller moves. But definitely a lot of fun names in the move, both major leaguers and prospects. So yeah, this was a fun episode. But before we get out of here, Doc, why don't you let the people know what you got going on? What some good stuff going on over at Prospects Live?
Gosh, we got all kinds of cool stuff. People who know way more about baseball than me are over there. So you're going to want to go check that out. And then if you want to just, you know, settle for whatever I'm doing, it's going to be Dynasty Dingers podcast. We are trying to step up our guests these days. We're going to have to get Eric Cross back on. He's this little known podcaster. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's great. Trust me. And we're going to have him back sometime. We want to get more players on. It's just, I've been so busy with life and I can go on and bore you about it, so I won't. But Sunday Smoke is my weekly column on Prospects Live. These guys are doing college breakdowns. They're doing daily breakdowns of like every minor leagues. Like, it's so much. We're not going to take away from Toolshed though. Toolshed's doing things great. Whatever Eric Cross is doing, you should follow him. But then also, if you got some extra bucks, it's a good investment to throw it over to Prospects Live to get the best of both worlds. I promise you, you're headed for a good time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely check out all the things going on over at Prospects Live. I mean, I remember when that site started back in, when did they start? I want to say it was like 2018 or something like that. And it's definitely grown to being one of the best sites in the business for prospect analysis, and definitely some fantasy stuff there too. They got, if you're into car collecting, they got, all the car collecting stuff for the hobby as well. So definitely follow Doc on Twitter at Doc Eisenhower. That's EISENHAUER. And then at Prospects Live as well. Obviously, you can follow me at Eric Cross MLB. Show is at Toolshed Pod. And that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to Doc for joining me. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We will be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.